Welcome in, Lineup Logic fans, to a holiday edition of the Fantasy Fast Break. It's your host, Spartanzilla, and back from parts unknown, my co-host, my guy, Jeremy, a.k.a. at Take No Days Off. What's up, Jeremy? What's going on with you, man?
What's going on, man?
It's good. It's good to have you back. You've been, been kind of busy with real life, and so it's good with the holidays here. Providing some content for the peeps. The tools have still been going, so that's much appreciated. The tools have been on fire. I was just in the chat with people today, and the tools have been very, very good that you produced. So we appreciate that as a community as well.
Yeah, the projections tonight have been pretty good. I was sitting up at the top half. Well, not the top half. I was sitting up with two lineups in the top 10 of the mini-max on DK. But fell a little bit. Now I'm sitting like top 20. I got two lineups in the top 20 right now, but
anybody in the late games?
I got like 50% of Harold, but okay. That's about it. I got mainly it's this last game that's going on now. I got a lot of DeRozan and Jamal Murray, and I hate playing Murray when he's chalk, but I got a bunch of him. He was number 3 in a DK plus minus on the tools today, and hopefully it just works out second half because he's not looking good right now.
The tools aren't 100%, but they're like, we'll call them 70%. Yeah. So anyway,
Collison played great through three quarters and didn't touch the floor in the fourth quarter, which is just so frustrating. Ariza got there in the fourth quarter. Augustine just went nuts. He was number 5 in plus minus. The rookie from the Nets was his name, Crooks, something like that.
It's a struggle bus with that name. Kirk Crooks.
Yeah, he was also a very strong play tonight. And the studs, I got Whiteside today at 5%, and I had 30% of him on DK. So, he went off for 40 fantasy points at 6.6K.
Can't beat that at all. So, as we were talking about these magical tools that Jeremy is talking about and that we're raving about a little bit, are available through the patreon.com, through our Lineup Logic community that way. They're $10 a month. You're going to get the access to the aforementioned tools Jeremy was talking about for both the NBA and the NFL. There's tools from folks and contributors doing things on the EPL, for MMA, for PGA when that's back up and running. Cheat sheets almost every night. I think we took a little break for the holidays, but you got to give people a little time off. It's the holidays. You want to spend time with the family, but almost every day of the NBA season, the NFL, all 17 weeks, there's cheat sheets available for that. MLB, when that gets back up and rolling, there'll be stuff going on for that. So $10 a month, patreon.com, gets you access to the Slack where all the activity happens, and also gets you again access to these tools and stuff like that. So check it out. Start the new year right. Go ahead and become a patron. So with that, we got a 5-game slate. We wanted to get this out to you, like our holiday treat to you. I know Christmas was yesterday. I hope everybody had a good. Did you have a good Christmas, Jeremy?
Yeah, I did. I got some nice earrings from my girlfriend and got some brand new Beats headphones. So I'm acting up now.
Boom. You can't go wrong with that. I had a good Christmas with my family and kids and stuff like that, and wife. So it's always good. But back on it on the DFS grind. And since we had a little bit of time here in the holidays, as a little break, we wanted to get you this podcast. We'll try to get you another one still yet this week for the NBA. And then we'll see what next week brings as we get into the new year. But 5 games on the slate for the association. So we're going to dive right in. And we'll give you the over-unders on these games. We'll give you the line as far as we have it from Vegas. And then at the end, in the tradition of the one and only Podfather, we're going to build you lineups as we've been doing in this new reincarnation of the NBA Pod. So we'll build you a lineup, and because it's a short slate, we'll probably get you two. So, all right, you good, Jeremy?
Yep, I'm good.
All right, let's rock it. Boston starts off the activity. I think this is a TNT game. They are at Houston to take on the Rockets. The over-under is 218.5. Right now, Houston's a 2-point favorite. The noteworthy thing here is the health of James Harden. I believe it's a calf injury that he may be dealing with. So you'll need to monitor that pretty much up to lock. Hopefully, I think for the most part, NBA news has gotten much better than it was in years past. And so we should get some notice on Harden probably about the 7 o'clock Eastern hour or so. So you want to have some contingencies in your lineups and whatnot. But, checking that health is obviously a key component, because if Harden doesn't go, obviously some value opens up on Houston's side of the ball. But, Jeremy, why don't you hit us with a few plays, let's presume that Harden is in. So hit us with a few plays from the Rockets side of the ball.
Well, if Harden is in, it's a no-brainer for him. I don't care what's his price on the five-game slate. He's 11-3 on DK and 12-5 on FanDuel. But the dude is sporting a 45.6 usage rate with Chris Paul off the floor, averaging 1.76 fantasy points per minute. And this is going to be a competitive game, so we can project him for 38 minutes possibly if he's in. And the dude is a tank. Like, you can say what you want about Harden, but the dude he shows up every day for work. And whenever he's listed on the injury report, I usually don't get too afraid, because the dude always just finds a way to play and shows out each and every time. With that usage rate, if this game is going to stay close, it's going to be at the hands of Harden. And these are the kind of games where Harden goes for 50-point triple-doubles.
Yeah, I can see that. Any other Rockets you like in this one? I'm thinking maybe Capella. Capella hasn't fallen off too much without CP3. And maybe Gordon?
I think this is the spot where Gordon, he can't really excel that well, because you got some great perimeter defenders in Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart and guys like that. So I wouldn't like Gordon too much in this spot.
Okay.
Like a guy like PJ Tucker, who's cheap, who you know he's going to get those 30 five plus minutes, maybe a Gerald Green, like some of those dumpster divers that you need somebody to show up to keep this game competitive. You know what I'm saying? So somebody like a PJ Tucker or a Gerald Green would be cool with me. I wouldn't mind a Capella. What's his price? I didn't check Capella yet.
Let's get Mr. Capella is
7-7 on DK.
Yep.
And 9 on FanDuel. I don't like 9. I like 7-7.
Yep, so he's definitely a DK play, so.
Yeah.
Okay. What about the Celtics side of the ball? I mean, Kyrie has been playing out of his mind.
Well, what we need to start doing with Kyrie Irving is we need to start checking reports on how many tickets he's buying for his family, because if I would have known that he was inviting the entire family to play against the Sixers,
lock button on that.
Yeah, I mean, because he did it. He just mentioned it was all over Instagram, where he said that he invited big part of his family to come watch him play versus the Hornets, and he absolutely went off in that game. And then yesterday or Christmas, he went and he dropped 40-10 on the Sixers just because his family was there. So if there's any family member showing up, we're locking him in. But aside from, all jokes aside, he's just a very, very good player. And there's no CP3 here, and Houston's not the same defense that they were with Ariza and Luke Mbamute. So. Kyrie is just, like I said, in a competitive game, I like the stars here.
What about any other Celtics players?
There's nothing really that stands out to me.
You don't like a Tatum or a Morris in this one? I got those guys kind of, I'm eyeballing them. Let me look at.
I like Marcus Morris, but I can never get his minutes right.
Right.
I can never get it right, and it's just so frustrating for me sometimes. But like Tatum, he's only 6'2".
Yeah.
On DraftKings, which I can get behind 100%.
Because I can fill a 5X with Tatum in this matchup, because it's going to be a little pushing the pace with Houston. It's going to be pace up for Boston.
Yeah, so I can definitely see either playing Tatum or Morris. On DK, I'd probably prefer just spending the extra $200 for Tatum. On FanDuel, what we got for Tatum? 7K and Morris is 6K. So yeah, it's a $1,000 price difference on FanDuel. So I'd rather take Morris there, and then I'd rather just take the $200 increase for Tatum on DraftKings.
Gotcha. All right. Let's move on to another matchup on Thursday night. The New York Knickerbockers are going to Milwaukee to take on the Bucks. The over-under is 224. Milwaukee, huge favorite, 14-point favorite right now. Jeremy, where are you at on the Milwaukee side of the ball?
Well, I just played 85% Middleton on Christmas in the same exact matchup, and it was so frustrating watching him play when they were up by 20 in the fourth quarter and he just doesn't have, like, any single stats the entire fourth quarter stint. And I'm just like, you should be on the bench right now. And you're trying to help my, like, your coach is trying to get you to help my fantasy teams, but you're just not. And this is just so frustrating. But, like, same, I think he's still the same price because he just hasn't moved for, like, five straight games.
7,300 on FanDuel.
And then what is he? Oh, my God, his price dropped. Oh my God! On DraftKings, he was 6,500 for four straight games on DraftKings.
62.
Yeah, and he's 6X'd like three straight games at that price, and they were tougher matchups than this. And a lot of people are gonna look at the game log and just be scared off of him. But I played him at 85% exposure at 6,500. I'm going right back to that. Like he owes me money, so he's gonna have to
pay up, yeah. Chris Middleton. Pay that up. Okay. Yeah. Any other Bucks beyond Giannis and Bledsoe and maybe Brogdon?
FanDuel,
we just saw this on Christmas. We just saw this game on yesterday.
Yeah. On FanDuel, I think I prefer Giannis to Harden probably. Just for the fact that you're saving 500 on a five-game slate where we're not sure where value is going to come from yet. Right. But I think it's going to be tough to convince me to play him when I just think that, for the most part, the Bucks are going to continue to run away with these kind of games, you know?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one. You know, I think Vegas likes this to be a bit of a blowout. So, yeah, I don't know how much of this game I want to have. But that being said, what about the Knicks side of the ball? You know, the one kid for me is Kevin Knox. He's starting to live up to that high draft billing. I think they got a player there. He's consistently 5X-ing. He hit for 30, I think, on Christmas Day. Points. So I like Knox. I like Vonleh. I like Moutier. You like anything different than those guys?
Tim Hardaway Jr. had a really good first half on Christmas, and he walked away from the first half. He was the reason why the game was close going into halftime, and he had, like, 27 fantasy points before ending at 31 because he just – started throwing up bricks. But so I mean, if he can keep that up over the stretch of a game, then I like that there. Okay. Going back to the Bucks though,
yeah.
I'm going right back to the well with Brook Lopez again. He's defeated this matchup twice already. Enes Kanter cannot close out to save his life, and Brook is just going to keep on shooting up threes. And if he gets hot, we've seen him get hot and hit like five straight threes in a quarter before. He took I believe six threes in the last game. Yeah, six threes, seven threes the game before that, four, six. So he took 10 threes versus Cleveland and 12 versus the Pacers. So if he's gonna get that kind of usage at 4.9 on DK, I can see him 5X in that pretty easily. And even at 5.5 on FanDuel, I'm okay with that. Where value is hard to come by so far, I'm okay with 5.5 for Brook Lopez.
All right, yeah, I don't mind Brook Lopez as well at the center spot. So, okay, anything else from this one?
Not really. I don't like.
Watch out for blowout potential. Spot. Like I said, we just saw this game, so definitely want to watch out for.
And they're at home now. Like right. They were at the Garden, and yeah. They still won by like 20 or something like that.
Exactly. All right. Well, let's move on to what I believe is going to be the game most people will need to target, and that is the L.A. Lakers going up the coast to take on the Sacramento Kings. The over-under right now is 229.5. Sacramento is a 3.5-point home favorite. Obviously, everyone that is an NBA fan watched the Lakers and Golden State game yesterday on Christmas Day. We know what's going on with LeBron. He's basically day-to-day with a groin. He is definitely ruled out for this matchup. But that being said, I know, Jeremy, you've dug in a little bit, and so you got some usage figures for the Lakers sans the King.
Yeah. So, like, here's a little – we've got some time since this is a five-game slate. A little tidbit for when you're running, like, using Court IQ on Roto-Grinders. A lot of people, like, they'll go on Roto-Grinders and they'll go to Court IQ and they'll go select Los Angeles Lakers and they'll click LeBron James off the floor and then they'll run the query, right? That's not what we want to do exactly. We want to get to the most specific position possible, right? So we need to take Beasley off the floor. We need to take McGee off the floor. And we just got some news right when we started the podcast. Rondo is actually out too. Okay. So, yeah, so we're also going to take Rondo off the floor. But taking all of those guys off the floor, we need to also put someone on the floor who we think is going to carry the most usage, who we know is going to be on the floor 100% of the time. And I think in this position, it'll be Brandon Ingram. So I'm putting Brandon Ingram on the floor while taking all of those guys off. And with all of that said, the biggest plus minus in usage goes to Lonzo Ball with a small sample size, just 12 minutes, but he carries a 34% usage in that spot, mainly because Rondo's off the floor and LeBron's off the floor, so Lonzo will most likely be doing all of the ball handling. He'll share some with Ingram, but majority of it would be him, and he's performing at a 1.46 fantasy point per minute. Again, it's a 12-minute sample size, so it's very small. But all we need is a small sample size for a one-game sample, and that's all we need tomorrow. So Lonzo, I think, can be very, very solid in this spot here, especially in an up-tempo versus the Kings. You're not very scared of any of that defense there.
Not at all.
Yeah, mainly these young stars, the Lonzo, Kuzma, and Ingram. Like, that's really where you want to build your line around, of course, with Zubac as well. Why is he not on here? Let me add him on the floor as well to see.
Yeah, and while you're doing that, you definitely want to watch this again. Even though Zubac has played well in the absence of McGee, and then, Chandler is what he is at this point in his career, we definitely want to watch for news, because if McGee is back, even with Zubac playing well, he's going to be relegated probably back. I feel like he's played well enough to get more minutes, but we don't know what Luke Walton's going to do. But you definitely want to watch news on that one. But I think I'm with you. This is the Lonzo Ball show with Ingram and Kuz. I think you can start your builds with those guys, and you should be having a pretty profitable night on Thursday night.
Yes, so Zubac has never played with Brandon Ingram and without either Rondo or LeBron. So we don't know what these two guys are actually going to do on the floor together. At least I don't know if they played together on the court without LeBron or Rondo after LeBron got injured on Christmas. I wasn't watching the game. But there's no sample size at all this season for Ingram and Zubac on the floor together without either LeBron or Rondo.
I think they did
Rondo.
Actually play towards the end of that game. I mean, it was a blowout, but I feel like Ingram saw the court with Zubac. It just happened.
Yeah, but I
so,
think it was yeah. Rondo. I think Rondo was
Rondo
on the floor
on the
entire
court
time.
Too,
yeah. So when you take both of those guys off, right. I don't think they've ever been on the floor together. Right. In that sense, but you know, Zubac is he's gonna be not even a usage monster, but a fantasy point per minute monster, and he's just gonna perform. But the problem here is this is what I hate about FanDuel right here. He was $3,500 on Christmas. Do you want to guess his salary today?
I'll guess. Let's go $5,200.
Yeah. This is why I hate FanDuel. He's $6,500.
They
raised him
three
G's. Yeah.
That's a bit much.
They don't give like the user the they mispriced him to begin with, and then they overpriced him Right. Like, so you have a super ultra chalk, and then you have to rely on maybe getting some kind of BS punt play to hit, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the one thing I hate about FanDuel. He on DraftKings, he's a lot more reasonable. I believe he actually is.
Yeah, he's 5,400 on DraftKings. He's definitely not a FanDuel play tomorrow. Yeah. That's unfortunate, too, because it was a good spot. But
yeah.
All right, any Kings plays? Because I know we kind of beat the Lakers to death, but it is definitely a focus of the slate. The Kings.
Yeah, I mean, that's where most of your lineup construction should be coming from, is that Lakers side of the ball.
Yep. For the Kings, what is it? Just De'Aaron Fox and Willie Cauley-Stein, Hield, Bogdanovich. That's kind of the people I usually go to on the Kings side of the ball. Those four, maybe Bielitsa. But
yeah, we gotta see how it plays out tonight too, because they'll be on a back to back tonight.
Right. I don't worry about Fox in that back to back. Like the younger players, right? I don't worry about Fox. Not so much worried about Cauley-Stein. Although, you know, their coach did us wrong in this situation about a week and a half ago, right? Where he benched all of these young players. It's like, you don't need to bench them as a back-to-back. I mean, what are you guys doing?
They were only down by 12 in the first quarter, and right. They ended up losing by 30, and he was just so pissed. Yeah. And it was just so annoying to see stuff like that.
Exactly.
The good thing is they're playing against the Clippers tonight at the Staples Center. So they'll play against the Lakers tomorrow at the Staples Center. So actually, they're not traveling at all.
Actually, I've got that game up in Sacktown. It's Lakers up in Sacktown. Yeah, it's up in – it's kind of odd. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's usually always do Lakers Clippers. Yeah.
It's a quick flight.
So. Oh, okay. Yeah, I misread that then. It'll be a quick flight, but I don't know, like if this game goes OT or something like that, then we'll be worried a little bit about this game as a whole. But hopefully whatever goes on tonight doesn't affect tomorrow's game too much, because Fox, Hield is still under 7K on DraftKings, which I think is very fair for him. Cauley-Stein, as you mentioned, Fox, as you mentioned. Bagley is still out, so that keeps Bielitsa in play. But it's just so scary to do that.
What about
Bogdanovich? Yeah, Bogdanovich as well. Like, you got to catch these guys when they hit that all-time low price dip. Like, he was just 5K last game, and he went off for 41. You know, like, you got to catch them in those positions. And now he's back up to 5,700. Not a bad spot, but
makes you think about him more, definitely, at 57. Yeah. Yep. So.
Yeah, and if you need some value, I think back to the Lakers side, Lance Stephenson, he should pick up some big minutes tomorrow, along with Josh Hart. They should pick up some big minutes replacing Rondo and LeBron as far as ball handling goes. So, yeah.
And Lance is pretty cheap. He's 4,200. Maybe he does that little guitar dance again.
Break
that out again. That dude is a character, so. All right, we spent a lot of time on the game, but that is the game, I think, with the most focus for the slate. Let's move on to another fun game. This is Portland going out to Oracle to take on the defending champs. The over-under is 228. The Warriors are 9-point favorites. For me, if I look at the champs, I mean, everybody who watches basketball knows where usage, where activity, everything is concentrated. It's obviously, you know, KD, Steph, Draymond, and Klay. Although Draymond is kind of, I think, still just trying to round into form. So I'm not necessarily on him in this matchup against Portland. The other piece, and the guy who played well on Christmas, even in the blowout, was Iguodala. And he's, one you can look at if you're just trying to salary save, I think, on the Warriors side of the ball. Do you have anything outside of that? I guess maybe Kevon Looney is a thing too, because he sees the starters' minutes as well with the Warriors. Anything, Jeremy, on the Golden State side other than what I mentioned?
No, I don't like to play with those fours and fives that barely get run on the Warriors. But in a five game slate, you got to take those shots. So yeah, Looney, Jarebko, and guys like that.
Yeah,
sure.
Yep, definitely not a core, but if you're filling out the build. What about Portland? Where are you at on the Portland Trailblazers side of the ball?
I think I think Damian Lillard has probably one of the best prices on the slate in terms of points per dollar. I haven't actually run my projections yet for tomorrow, just because that just takes pretty long to do. Mm-hmm. But I haven't run them yet. But just that 8,900 on FanDuel and 83 on DraftKings. Looking back to just previous matchups with the Warriors, I'll just read them off based off of what Fantasy Cruncher has. Earlier this year, he was 9K on DK, and he put up 44. Last year, he was 9,400, put up 45. 8,800, put up 63. 9,200, put up 53. The year before that, 9K, put up 45. 8,300, put up 48. And then finally, you have to go back 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games to get to a bad Damian Lillard game versus the Warriors. And this was in a 31-point blowout. He put up 19 at 8,700. Outside of that, he's just been straight up on fire versus the Warriors every single time.
He has something to prove. I mean, that's the team he likes playing the most. So at 8,300, you're right. I can see a 5X incoming for sure against the Warriors. What about Nurkic, CJ McCollum, Aminu, any of those Blazers? Something you want to play. The over-under is right there with that Lakers-Kings over-under.
Yeah, I think Nurkic, his price on DK is very, very fair at 6,100. I'm not sure why his price just keeps on falling. It's not like he's playing poorly at all.
Yeah, I got him at 6,400. I don't know if that makes any difference.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm reading based off of the day before on Christmas. I'm looking at his Christmas price.
Right.
Yeah, but at 64, it's still that's still very fair as well.
You worried about his minutes at all in this matchup?
I mean, he's been consistent. Like, we know he's not gonna run 30.
No.
But he's been consistent at 22 to 29 mm-hmm. through that entire stretch. So over the last three games versus the Warriors, he's 28, 20, and 30. The 20 was a slight blowout in their favor. Yeah, I'm not really too – like, I wouldn't project him any lower than what he usually is projected for in terms of minutes.
Gotcha. All right, should be fun.
And you said Aminu too, right?
Yeah, I said Chief Aminu. You know, he's not my favorite guy to play, but
– yeah, he usually doesn't perform very well versus the Warriors based off of just a quick look at the fantasy actual outcomes. But just the price alone is definitely worth it on FanDuel, where it's a little bit harder to find something comfortable in that lower range. Right. At 4,500 on DK, I think we can do a little bit better than that. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't mind it on FanDuel.
Gotcha. All right, should be a fun game to watch for those that are going to stay up and watch at West Coast Hoops. One more game, and this involves your squad, those Philadelphia 76ers coming off the loss in Boston in overtime, going out to Utah to take on the Jazz. The over-under is 217.5. Utah is a 5-point favorite. Let's start with the home team. Utah side of the ball. Donovan Mitchell, I think, is still in that sophomore slump. I think he played decently last matchup he had on Christmas there against Portland. But he's a guy you could maybe look to, but I'm going to look at his price real quick before I go that far. So he's 6,700. He's sub 7K against Philly. Don't mind it at all. Obviously, Gobert is their other key piece along with Rubio. So three of them are plays that you can kind of, I think, look at. I like some other plays that we've talked about throughout the podcast a little bit better, but I don't hate the Utah plays. And then Joe Ingles. He looks like he might do some work on the car or do some work on the home, but he can get after it a little bit. And then Jay Crowder for me is another Jazz player as well that you can kind of look at. It sounds like with Favors, there's a bit of some trade buzz around him, so maybe he's hearing that. So I don't know. Production for him has been kind of a thing lately. So I don't know, Jeremy, any other Utah news and notes or players that we should be thinking about?
As far as the Utah side, yeah. Not really. I mean, there's only one player I'll most likely play on the Utah side, and that's Donovan Mitchell. I'm done with Rubio. Like, I collected my money when he was in the low 5Ks, and that's it. I'm running from there. He's 7K on FanDuel and 67
on DK, yeah.
I think I have – no, that's Mitchell. I have Rubio at 63.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so Rubio is at 63. He's already – he's at that price, he's too risky. I don't like it. He hasn't played well against the Sixers, and actually it's in his entire career. He's never played well again. He hasn't had one good game against the Sixers in 8 games in his career. Obviously, that doesn't mean he can't have one good game against them, but it's just I don't like it. I don't like that.
Yeah, even matchup. Even on this slate, there's probably
you got Simmons, go, yeah. You got Butler. You know, it's just very tough defenders for a guy who's he already barely scores. So now you're asking him to just pass his way to 6X at 6,300, and that's just not going to happen.
Right.
So yeah, Mitchell. Last game we met with the Jazz, he wanted to show off for Ben Simmons. He shot the ball like 34 times. Like, actually shot 34 field goal attempts.
Not
which
surprising.
Is just insane. Yeah, and he ended up breaking out of a little funk. I remember he was, like, scoring no more than 25 fantasy points for, like, 10 straight games mm-hmm. up until that game, and he ended up with, like, 48, 49, something like that. Mm-hmm. But he had to shoot the ball 34 times, and that was the game where he was taking a lot of criticism because he shot the ball 34 times and he had 0 assists.
Yeah.
So... yeah, I remember that clearly. So,
I think with Mitchell, he's going to be a good player. It's just, this is a thing he's got to work out. Defense is scheming against him. He's got to figure this out. They had a pretty nice win on Christmas Day over the Blazers, and he played 30 minutes and got 26 points. His price is really tempting at 67. So, of all the Utah players, he's probably the one I would most lock up.
Yeah, I'm guessing he's going to be the one who pops for me the most. I think... if I'm not mistaken, Joe Ingles usually plays well versus the Sixers.
I think you're right. Let
me see.
But let's check his price, though. That would be the only thing with Ingles because of his position, right? So he's 5,700. You could do worse than Joe Ingles tomorrow. That's for sure. Joe Ingles is...
yeah.
Don't sleep on Joe Ingles now.
Yeah, when he gets the minutes, he usually is around 5X at this price tag.
Yeah.
Just make sure we're projecting him for 30-plus minutes. If he's at that, then he should be fine.
He's just a little bit over that his last 10 days. He's been – and then for the season, he's about 30-minute performer. So, and he
yeah.
for 32 points. So, Joe Ingles, man, like if you're going Jazz, I don't necessarily know if I like Gobert against Embiid, but I like I like Mitchell and Ingles, I think, on the Utah side of the ball. What about
– Embiid is going to force Gobert into foul trouble. That's what usually happens because Gobert can only guard him down low and
be stretch.
Exactly.
Go ahead with those Sixers. That's your squad. Let us know where we should go. I have my thoughts, but go ahead and let us know where we should go on the Sixers side of the ball.
I think this is a game where Ben Simmons tries to prove a statement as well. The only problem here is that the Jazz do have good rim protection, so it is a little frustrating, but I think this is a game where he can get his 50. Jimmy Butler as well, still underpriced for his talent. And then, you know, anytime there's a competitive and tough game, Jimmy Butler is always there to step up. So that's when I really like to target him rather than those cupcake matchups. I like to target him in those tough matchups because he's such a competitor.
And the process is always a process, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't mess with that. I mean, he's
10-1. You always want exposure whenever he's on a slate.
He's 10-1, but he can easily 5X that, even against the Stifle Tower there. So.
Yeah, and he did it last time out, too. I think he had 55 versus them. So.
If you're bargain basement shopping from the Sixers, what about Wilson Chandler, too? Like, it was the overtime game on Christmas Day, hit for 26. Over his last 10, he's hit for about 24. I mean, he's only 4K, so it's not necessarily a pace-up match. It's probably pace neutral to pace down going against the Jazz. So I don't know what your thoughts are on Chandler.
Listen, on a five-game slate, I'm rolling with what I know. Yeah. I'm going to roll with safety, and if Chandler's going to play – 35 to 38 minutes, and I know that for a fact, and I'm rolling with them. It's just that simple. At 4K, I'm going to do it. I don't know if it'll be the staple of my cash game build, but it'll be something that's definitely going to pop in the projections if he's going to be projecting for 35 to 38 minutes.
Gotcha. All right, anything else with the Sixers?
T.J. McConnell is one of those guys on a small slate where he can really, really catapult you to the top. He usually shows up in tough games. So at 4,200, I think, what is he on DK?
Mr. McConnell, let me look, is
36. Oh, that's very nice.
Yes, he's 3,600. I just never like playing him. Again, you got to get over your own personal biases in this game.
Yeah, yeah.
I just never play McConnell. I mean, I know he's a scrappy dude.
Yeah, I haven't played him once this year neither.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I always feel like I want, because I'm more of a GPP player than a cash game player. Yeah. So I'm always like, I need that upside. I feel like his upside is capped. So, but he's definitely, I mean, if he's, at, you know, you're trying to fill that second guard spot on, DK at 3,600, you know, you tell me he could 5X that. Yeah, I could see him 5Xing that.
Honestly. I like it better on FanDuel.
Yeah, let's see what he is on FanDuel.
He's 42, but the only problem is I don't like wasting that second guard spot. Yeah. Because you have Kyrie, you have Damian Lillard, you have De'Aaron Fox. So you have some really good point guards tomorrow, so...
Exactly.
And you got Lonzo Ball, whose price dropped because Rondo came back. So.
All right. Don't play McConnell, guys. Don't play him tomorrow. All right. So
he's going to go for 40.
If he goes for 40, I'll eat that crow. That's fine. But
sometimes you just got to take it, man.
Exactly. All right. So we have reached the end. Five game slate. Like, it's a pretty good slate. Like I said, good enough for us to jump on a pod here. But now we got to do what we like to do. And we're going to build two lineups for the listeners for this Thursday night slate. So let's get it. I will start. Are you ready? Well, let's do it on DK. DK, I just understand it a little bit more, I think.
Yeah.
So, well, I talked about this guy a lot. I don't know how many tickets he's leaving for people, but I need to have him in my lineup, pace-up spot against Houston. Beard or no beard, let me get my man Kyrie Irving. Come on, buddy. 8,400. You got to play. Let's put him in.
All right.
Where are you going?
Got him. I'm going to follow that right back up, and we're going to put Damian Lillard right in the guard spot.
Okay.
Because I just think that he always shows up versus the Warriors, so, like, he's just going to do it again.
Dame Dollar. Okay. I talked about this dude. I like what I'm seeing out of him, and I like his price. I'm going to put him in our forward spot, and that's Kevin Knox from the New York Knickerbockers. Where are you at, Kevin Knox? Join the squad. Go ahead.
Can I get... Yes, I can. I'm going to go ahead and put Lonzo Ball, and I know I'm wasting up the utility spot, but... There's just so many underpriced guards on DK. I'm going to take Lonzo Ball and put him in the utility spot.
All right, let me find him. Get him in here. Lonzo, join the squad. All right. Let's see here. So we have 54.75 a player. Mm-hmm. You know, his teammate, where are you at? I feel like we get him in one of the guard spots. Let's see if I can find him. Where are my Lakers at? Let's go like that. Let's do this. Let's put him in at the shooting guard spot. Let's go Brandon Ingram. He can get some ball handling duties. Pace up spot. Let's go Ingram there.
Yep.
We still got a lot. We got still a lot for players left, too.
Yep. That's plenty to work with right now. But keeping the bargaining going on, I'm going to go ahead and put in Zubac at the center spot.
Zubac. Come on, Zubac. 54. Yep. Okay. So now we got 53 to work with. Let's see. How can I do this in the most efficient manner? I really want to get your boy, but I'm afraid what that's going to leave us. Let's just do it and see. We're building on the fly. I like Jimmy Buckets against Utah in this one. That small forward spot. Let's put him in there. Boom. Man, it only leaves us 3,500, though. He's real thin.
Oh, yeah.
Real thin.
At power forward. Can we get a power forward at 3,500? Who do we have left? DJ Wilson? I played him in my cash game lineup on Christmas.
Right. That's unacceptable. Unacceptable.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to take Butler.
On FanDuel is acceptable because I knew I was going to drop him.
Let's take Buckets out. Let's take Buckets out. I was getting a little too. Oh, but here's a dude. I think it still pays up. You pair him with Kyrie. What about Jason Tatum at 62? Put him in at small.
I like it.
All right, so then we got 4,500. We can work a little better with that. 4,500.
All right, let's see. Tatum.
Yeah, Tatum at small forward, so we just got power forward left.
Okay, now power forward left at 4,500. I think that leaves us with basically Aminu.
Okay.
Aminu or PJ Tucker or Crowder.
That's three good choices.
Yeah, I mean, they all equally suck, so.
Well, I mean, you talk a little bit. Chandler,
yeah.
Crowder, Aminu. I mean, we're just ending the build. The upside is on the rest of the squad.
Yeah, if Harden plays, I'd like to keep Tucker in.
Okay.
Because so, yeah, he's just the person who benefits from the wide open threes in the corner.
Okay. So you wanna go with Tucker here?
Yeah, I'll take Tucker here. Okay. Plus to running back with Kyrie and Tatum. You know, you gotta get the usage monster PJ Tucker in there.
All right. So I actually really like this lineup a lot. Anybody plays this lineup, I mean, let us know, because I like this one. This is Kyrie Irving, Brandon Ingram, Jason Tatum, PJ Tucker, Mr. Zubac, Dame Lillard, Kevin Knox, and Lonzo Ball. And we have no salary left over, but that's a pretty good squad, I think, right there.
Yeah, I like the upside in Irving and Lillard, and Zubac is still underpriced on DK, so I like his upside. Lonzo and Ingram, I believe they both have 30-plus in them, which will be easily 6X on this slate. So.
Gotcha. All right, you want to do one more? Let's do one more.
Yeah. All right.
Why don't you start it off?
Let's do it on FanDuel just to get the...
Yeah, why not?
Get some feel for some FanDuel stuff. I'm going to start off with the most underpriced star again, Damian Lillard.
Dame Lillard, where are you at? Okay. All right, so over to me. I played him on DK. Play him over here. Let's go Brandon Ingram at small forward. 6,400.
Oh, yeah, he is small forward. That's not bad. I'm going to go ahead and... go back to the man himself, Lonzo Ball.
Okay.
6K.
Where is Lonzo? Lonzo, okay. So, I want to close out the small forward spot. But that's not what I'm seeing there. Let me go power forward spot, actually. This guy's only 6K. Fits right in with the lineup. We used him on DK. Kevin Knox, join the squad. I think he can. It's gonna be pace up matchup against Bucks. I think he can 5x that, but barely 5x. But I think he can 5x that.
Yeah. How much salary we got left? 6,500. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Let's go. I want to free up a little bit more salary and see what we can do later. So. I'll put Brook Lopez in there at 55.
I don't mind it.
Yeah.
Let's see, where is Brook Lopez? There you go. All right. 6,800. All right. Here's a guy. We talked about him. He doesn't. He hasn't seen the shot. He doesn't like. Let's go with Donovan Mitchell. Put him in as shooting guard. 7,400. You can see this is kind of a balanced build for folks looking, or, you know, playing the home game version of this. That's kind of a balanced build. All right, so your shot. All
right, let me see. We end up with 66 so far.
Yep.
This guy went very slept on Christmas. We didn't talk about him much, but just looking at his name right now and knowing that I minimized his exposure on Christmas, just like really pissed me off because I saw him go for like 6 or 7x or something like that. Malcolm Brogdon, we can throw him in there as shooting guard at 5,700. Okay. Also, nice salary saver. You know, the rookie of the year over Joel Embiid, you know.
You're not feeling... Embiid had to play that year. He didn't play, man. Come on, man.
He only played 32 games.
Come on. All right, so we got a lot of money to work with here. A lot of money to work with.
Might be able to get a stud in here.
Yeah. Can we get up to Giannis?
I don't think we can get to Giannis. No, that'll leave us with 2,100.
But we got KD at 10-5.
We can get KD. All
right. At least it's 30,
and then we can punt.
Then we can punt. Power forward.
DJ Wilson?
Oh, man. What's with you and DJ Wilson today? Oh, God. Look, yo, oh, hey, about this. What about this? What is this? Zach Collins. I always like this dude. I don't know why. Pace up. If for whatever reason our boy Nurt gets into foul trouble, you know, he's a plug and play with Zach Collins. Let's put him at 36.
36.
That's basically a punt. Right? And then that's, we're good. We got no salary left over.
Yeah, so again, the same thing with Zach Collins. With we talked about it before on the pod. We just have to, if we're playing Zach Collins, we got to really think that something's happening with Nurkic, that he's not going to get those minutes.
Agreed. But it's a punt.
But I like the punt.
It's a good punt, actually. All right.
Yeah, because we don't have any other lower priced guys that we're worried about. Like, our lower priced guys are like Lonzo, Brogdon and Brooke, and I think they're all pretty safe for their salary. So, all
right, so for the don't mind it. For the FanDuel version of this game, we have Dame Lillard, Lonzo Ball, Donovan Mitchell, Malcolm Brogdon, Brandon Ingram, Kevin Durant, Kevin Knox, Zach Collins as our punt, and Brooke Lopez at the center. I'm gonna go ahead and enter that in right now before I forget about it. So,
let me see.
Any other thoughts for the 5-game slate, Jimmy?
No, yeah, guys, just gotta remember, like, whatever site that you're playing on, just recognize the pricing. This is NBA is all about price per dollar and maximizing your points above that. That's why on the NBA projections, the plus minus column that I told you guys about in the Slack chat is so important, because a guy who pops on FanDuel might not pop on DraftKings. For instance, we talked about Zubac on DraftKings being a good play. FanDuel, you're risking a lot going up there to force him in. So make sure you know your pricing. Make sure you know your projections, and weigh the good with the bad.
For sure. Words to live by there from the one and only Take No Days Off. And that's how you can find him in our Slack, and then on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle, Jeremy, again?
Take No Days Off.
That's it, same thing. And I'm at Spartanzilla. We'll be there both on Twitter and in the Slack. Just get at us either way. Always looking to answer questions, and we're not short on opinions. Sometimes they're wrong. A lot of times they're going to lead you on the right path. But we will give you opinions one way or another. So appreciate you guys listening in to this fun holiday edition of the Fancy Fast Break. Take it easy, y'all.